Mark chapter 6 and verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, against John, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for the sakes and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the words, "What think ye of Christ?" in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42, he was inviting the religious people of that time to comment upon what they understood the Old Testament scriptures to say about the promised Messiah. The best that they could come up with was that he, the Messiah, would be born into the line of the family of the great King David of Jewish history. The reality of the situation was that the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, was standing right before these men, these teachers of the Old Testament, these possessors of the scriptures, these heirs of Moses and the prophets, that the Messiah was standing right before them, and they did not recognize him. The reason for that is that there has always been confusion in the minds of sinful men and women as to the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was true then, and it continues to be true today. And that confusion is seen in the opening verse of our reading today from Mark chapter 6. Herod, the king of that region, a man who should have had his spies and his informers and an awareness of whatever it was that was going on at grassroots level in his little fiefdom, he should have known better than anyone what was happening. But he wondered when he heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. He wondered who this man was. He had heard much about him, certainly. So I suppose his informants had at least served that purpose. But he did not know who Jesus was, and it perturbed him. And that question as to the identity of this Jesus of Nazareth gives Mark the occasion and the opportunity to tell us a little about the death and the circumstances of the death of John the Baptist. And that's what we're going to be thinking about for a little while today. But just before we do that, I want us to think about this matter of the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply from the point of view of being able to provide a few facts about who the Lord Jesus is. Surely it is more than that. Being able to identify the Lord Jesus Christ is about recognizing him to be who he said he was. He was the Messiah, and it is believing what the Old Testament teaches about the Messiah is found fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. The Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah were fixed and fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. Knowing the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ is seeing that the hope of the Old Testament saints concerning the coming Emmanuel, the coming Christ, God with us, is that same hope that we have. That the resting on the promises of God that he had made to his people, though they were sinful and undeserving, those promises for salvation, those promises for cleansing, those promises to make them holy, though they were in themselves sinful and unrighteous, to lead them and bring them into glory, were all fulfilled in this one, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. In our day, it's not simply that we see and share with those Old Testament saints that the Messiah will come, but it's that we understand he has come, and that all righteousness has been fulfilled by this Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, a man born 2,000 years ago in Israel, a man born under the Roman rule of the time, the Roman Empire, that this man who had been a carpenter, who took up this ministry for 3 years, who was taken by the religious people of his day, his age, and was crucified and slain, that this one is the true Messiah who has taken away the sins of his people. It's believing that. It's entrusting our soul's eternal well-being on that fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Christ. It is resting our soul's eternal security on that one single fact. Many years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a dear friend of his, a friend who had lost her brother. And she was grieving, and she was broken, and she was confused. And seeing her state, the Lord pitied her, and he gave her one of the greatest and clearest revelations to his true identity in the whole of the Bible. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, I just want to read a couple of verses from John chapter 11 to you, just as we think about this. You know, I'm speaking here about Martha, the sister of Lazarus and the sister of Mary. And we often think of Martha as being the one who sort of missed out because Mary chose the better part and sat at the feet of the Lord. But let's not be too rash in thinking that. This revelation that was given exclusively to Martha is amongst the greatest and clearest revelations as to the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Martha understood, which we see from her reply. Here's what we read in John chapter 11 and verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother, that's Lazarus, had not died. He wouldn't have died if you had been here. And then she says this, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Do you see what Martha's saying there? Martha is saying to Jesus, Jesus, if you ask God, God would raise him from the dead. Verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. What an insight and an understanding that woman had that day from those words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her. She gave a glorious testimony of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, can you testify to that today? Can you say, as Martha said that day to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God? Because that is what a believing Christian is. That is what it is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to see that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah, is the Christ, is the Son of God, and that all that he has done and accomplished has opened that way of salvation and acceptance to sinners like you and like me. Martha understood that. Herod had no idea who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And what we discover is that in his ignorance, he conceived an explanation that betrayed his own sin and his own guilty conscience. And so it is with all carnal conjecture. So it is with all the vain, foolish imaginations that men and women have about what religion is all about. The reality is that it was not given to Herod to know the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did he do? He concocted his own story. And that's the story of religion. That is what men and women have done from the beginning of time. Whether it's Laban with his little gods, or whether it is the false religion of our day that has constructed a Christianity using the language and vocabulary of the Bible, which is no more like true Christianity than Laban's little gods. To know the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ is a God-given gift. Herod was perplexed. Some said that the Lord Jesus was Elias or Elijah, who indeed was expected to precede Christ and was actually a type of John the Baptist. Some imagined he was another one of the prophets. But ignorance was rife. Who is this? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Eyes to see and ears to hear, to truly and properly understand the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a spiritual gift, and it is a mark of God's grace towards us, knowing Christ. May the Lord be pleased to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us and in us, that we may know him who is true, whom to know is life eternal. The account of the death of John the Baptist is mentioned by Matthew and Mark and briefly also by Luke. And the narrative, in a sense, is clear. We read it together, and it's the story of Herod's birthday party, Herodias's daughter. She's called Salome. By tradition, that's not actually mentioned in the New Testament, whether that was her name or not. She was the daughter of Herodias to another man, to Herod's brother. And she danced for Herod. And this story really is quite straightforward when we look at the details of it. There's an element of confusion in Herod. He appears to have had a grudging respect for John. And he certainly had an awareness of the respect that was borne to John by the common people. And we discover that there is in this lady Herodias an implacable desire for revenge against John. She feels threatened by John's honest claims. And her daughter, well, she's just complicit in her mother's scheme. The birthday party, the pleasing dance, the overdone gestures, all probably fueled by wine and alcohol, ends, terminates, concludes in Herodias obtaining the head of John the Baptist. And the earthly life of God's finest prophet and faithful servant ends in the dirt and in the foulness of a prison cell underneath the castle where John's enemies were partying upstairs. That's the story, that's the account that Mark gives us. But I want to draw just a couple of points to your attention that perhaps the Lord will use to grant us some personal encouragement today and some spiritual comfort from the wretched events that transpired that day of Herod's birthday and John's death. And the first point is this, and there's only a couple. Let us take this little phrase and note it. The fickleness of the stony ground hearers. Now, I hope you remember that we've been thinking quite a bit, really. And I've spoken about how the Lord is teaching his disciples, using, as it were, every incident, every comment that the Lord makes, every action, to build the experience and the understanding of these men who themselves would soon form the core of the New Testament church and the New Testament gospel ministry. So, might not this also be a lesson for the disciples? Do you remember when we were in Mark chapter 4 and the Lord was speaking about the sowers going forth to sow seed, or the sower going forth to sow seed, and how that the seed was sown? It was good seed, it was sown, but some of it landed where? On stony ground. Stony ground hearers. And I suggest to you today that Herod was an example of a stony ground hearer. To Herod, John was an enigma. He was a puzzle. Herod was very likely a Sadducee, because most of the rulers of this time in Israel were Sadducees. It was a religious group. There was a religious group called the Pharisees. There was another called the Sadducees. And the Pharisees tended to be more religiously fundamentalist, whereas the Sadducees had a religion that was more permissive and allowed for other kinds of activities. But Herod knew enough of the Old Testament scripture to recognize in John the Baptist an honest and a faithful preacher of the truth. Herod had enough religion to have a conscience and a belief in God. Indeed, there was a time when onlookers, when observers, might have wondered if Herod was not one of John's disciples. Now you say, where on earth would that idea spring from? Well, John certainly seemed to influence Herod greatly. Dare I say, even to the point of changing his theology, because the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection from the dead. John the Baptist did. And it would appear that by the time that this Herod was wondering who Jesus of Nazareth was, he had come to the point of recognizing that there was indeed a resurrection from the dead, just as John had taught, because he was concerned that Jesus was John, risen from the dead. So maybe John had even changed Herod's theology. Listen to what Mark chapter 6 verse 20 says. We read it earlier. Herod feared John. Listen. Knowing that he was a just man and unholy. Herod observed him. And when Herod heard John, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now that sounds like a disciple of John to me. Doesn't it to you? Preachers love it when their congregations hear them gladly. But think about this. Think about the effect that John had on Herod. Herod respected John. He listened to John. He even obeyed John. He altered his conduct to accommodate John's teaching. He changed his beliefs when John spoke. That in itself, from the writings of Mark, is an amazing testimony. And it is pretty obvious that to some degree it was publicly known. But it was false. Or at least it was natural. It wasn't spiritual. Herod seemed to have been convinced of John the Baptist's teaching about sin. John the Baptist's faithful ministry had improved Herod's religious understanding. But Herod was not a converted man. Herod was a stony ground hearer. He sprung up with enthusiasm. He heard John with gladness when that seed was sown, but he became offended when the worldly attractions brought conflict. He was a stony ground hearer, a perfect example of one. And was not that a lesson for the disciples? Did not that fulfill Jesus' teaching to them in his parable? That a person may have a positive response to the ministry of the word, indeed delight in it for a time, appear to do well and grow in it, even grow under gospel truth. And yet the word has come in word only and not in power, not with spiritual effect. And we will not be long in the Christian life until we have seen this personally. And that is a solemn and a sobering warning to us, as it was to the disciples of Jesus' day. May God preserve us all and confirm the reality of our faith to us, that we may not be stony ground hearers. And may he give us wisdom to discern that there are still such amongst us today. So that was one lesson for the disciples. And here's another one. Here's the second one. They learned from the experience of John that the price of faithfulness to the cause of Christ was death. Perhaps it was only a few weeks or indeed days between John baptizing Jesus and then being arrested by Herod. It couldn't have been very long. Was this a reality check for the disciples? Was this the Lord giving them an indication of the cost of service? The Lord Jesus once told the man, "No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And yet it was into this very kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ had called these disciples. There is a cost to being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was becoming obvious to the Lord's disciples, and it ought to be clear to you and to me as well. Let me tell you something about being one of the Lord's elect. If you have any other option, if you have any better offer, if you have any preferable option than following after the Lord Jesus Christ, then you go and take it. You go and do it. Because until and unless we come to the conviction in our heart and in our mind that we have nowhere else to go, we've not taken up our cross and followed Christ. We must be able to say with Peter, "Lord, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." It is knowing who Christ is and knowing what he has done. The little phrase here at the end of the chapter that I just want to touch upon in conclusion. Verse 29 says this: "And when his disciples heard of it," the death of John the Baptist, "they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb." And when you read the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 14, verse 12, it says exactly the same as Mark tells us here in verse 29, and it adds just a couple more words, a few more words. It says, "and went and told Jesus." And I want to, if you will excuse me, just weave that little comment into the tail end of this narrative, this text by Mark. Because the disciples of John, when they heard it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb, and they went and told Jesus. It's a delightful comment. Upon burying their teacher, John the Baptist's disciples at once went and told Jesus. Why did they do that? Because they had been taught by John to honor and respect Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, as the Christ. And I suspect that these disciples also stayed with Jesus. They had lost their leader. They had lost their master. I suspect they stayed with Jesus. That's the point that Matthew is making here. Having learned from John that they need look for no other. Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah that had long been promised in the Old Testament scriptures. He was the Christ who had come. And for these disciples of John the Baptist, and indeed the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was much still to learn. They still harbored a belief for a long time that Jesus' kingdom was going to be of this world and that Christ would rule on earth. And they had to learn that Christ's own death and his burial would usher in a spiritual kingdom of worldwide proportions through that cleansing blood and God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lesson that they in turn would teach to others by preaching that gospel to the ends of the earth. But they also learned that it was to be a pricey and costly activity. And many of the disciples, we know about the circumstances of their death, many we don't. But they knew that they too had to serve the Lord, even to the point of laying down their lives. So I want to close today by returning just to John the Baptist's death briefly. Not to mourn him or to lament the wicked circumstances surrounding his execution. But rather, let us look beyond John to the love and to the kindness of his Saviour in extracting him so expeditiously from time and transporting him so gloriously into eternity. I'm reminded of Elijah being carried in a fiery chariot into the presence of God. And was not this Elijah of the time of Christ, was his translation any less blessed? I am sure that a fiery chariot was waiting for John the Baptist too. And whether it is a fiery chariot, as with the prophet Elijah, or the executioner's axe, as with John the Baptist, both of these opened heaven's door for this child of God. Matthew 25, verse 23 says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." John's service was over. He had come with a purpose, he had come with a task, and that task was complete. He had announced the coming of Christ. He had identified to the world the Lamb of God. He had preached repentance, which is the necessity of righteousness imputed by God through grace by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Christ for his people. And in all of these things, John the Baptist had successfully served, and now his work was done. He had no need to remain on earth, and he had no desire to remain on earth. John was pleased to be gone. I'm sure he was. He would no longer wear that hairy shirt and eat locust. Now he wore a robe of righteousness and ate angel food. He was home. And soon the Lord Jesus Christ will take all his people home. And either he will gather us to himself through death, however that might be, or he will come for us personally when he comes again. Either way, we shall have no regrets. When his disciples put John the Baptist's body in its grave, the corpse was without a head. But John the Baptist didn't need either. He already had a heavenly body in the presence of his King, and that was far better. We look forward to the day when it will be our turn also. Amen.